Hot round! Red 7, Red 7, Red 7! Don!
What?
Red 7!
I don't know what Red 7 means.
Hot round!
I don't. What is hot round?
Will you just go stand on the other side, please?
Billy Bob! This is it! The man who got us here, you ready?
You don't think that lame ass play where I run downfield and act like I'm lost is gonna work, do you?
Then he pivots, fakes, chucks the big bomb halfway down the field to our hopefully still wide open tailback. I call it the annexation of Puerto Rico.
Booyah! That's what we call a sack lunch.
Nom, 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 nom.
I need that ball. Get me the ball.
You need the ball.
Get me the ball.
Get you the ball.
Are you going to get me the ball?
I'll get you the ball.
I hope he didn't kill somebody.
Because we know when we add up all those inches, that's going to make the difference between winning and losing. Between living and dying.
I got a whole lot of money. Y'all it for me. Bottle key popping that water, man.
Welcome into 11 Personnel, Nick Roush and Adam Luckett with a rare in-person podcast in KS Office.
Even in person. A little weird setup here as we're both wearing headsets, but we can't hear each other.
No, it's very odd. But, you know, what would KSR be without some technical difficulties?
It's could be an interesting ride here for the next 40 minutes or so.
Yes. Could be a little weird, but it's also weird seeing you, your face.
In the flesh.
Yeah, like, it's just, I don't know. We're very close to one another. We're sitting very close to each other at a table. And, like, normally, even if this was, like, a radio setting, you're not squished so close to one another. But you know what? We're going to make it work. We're going to have a little bit of fun today. And we're here because this morning, it is Thursday, January, what do we have here? 27th. And this morning we got to chat with Kentucky's four football transfers for the first time. Tavion Robinson, Tayshaun Manning, Deuce Hogan, and Darion Henry Young. You know, we can get into everything they said, but general first impressions, thoughts.
One, Kentucky's culture is kind of a huge selling point. It's a reason players want to come play for Mark Stoops. Two, and Tayshaun Manning and Tavion Robinson, two guys that are about their business, mature, that are coming in here to play football and potentially get to the NFL. Very give off a vibe of very much ready to get to work and grind and want to make some plays on Saturday. Meanwhile, Deuce Hogan is kind of entering a backup QB race, and then Darion Henry Young is still pretty young. I mean, this is only he was a class of 2020 prospect, so he's still got a few years left in college. But overall, I thought size for all of them, outside of Tavion Robinson, obviously because he's a slot receiver, but Tayshaun Manning looks like an SEC offensive lineman. Darion Henry Young could use a few weight or a few pounds, but he has a really good frame. Like you could see, oh, that guy looks like an athlete, a defensive lineman, and Deuce Hogan is a tall.
Yeah, very tall.
Looking, I mean, look like you may be in a quarterback shop almost. Tall, blonde hair.
Speaks well. Blonde hair, yeah, right. Yeah. He was interesting to talk to because just his background, his upbringing. You know, Texas high school star quarterback. Dad was the coach. Got thrust into a starting role in his freshman season. He said the guy that was going to be a senior transferred out. He ended up playing at San Diego State. So they had a talented guy ready to take them to a state championship. He leaves, thrusts Deuce into the action. And so you have this guy who, hell, that's about as big time as it gets outside of SEC football, Texas high school football. So he's been there, done that, seen a lot. I thought it was funny, too, that he's like, yeah, it did not take long for people to say, so you can't beat him, join him. Like he was already getting Iowa jokes. But to clarify, he did not play in the bowl game, did not dress for Iowa. He had already left the program at that point. He said he was a little conflicted during the games. He's like, man, these guys are some of my best friends at Iowa, but this is my new team in Kentucky. So he's like, it kind of worked out well where they both played well and the New School ended up winning. But it's a little different than Tavion Robinson, who did play against Kentucky in a bowl game and has very not so fond memories of that game.
2019 Belk Bowl, he took a shot from Yusuf Corker on a big third down pickup in the second half for the Hokies.
Fourth down.
That's right.
And that shot too, like it, we went back and found it. I mean, it wasn't a bang bang play that you normally see between receivers and secondary. He caught the ball, made one guy miss, and was like 5 yards after the catch, and Yusuf Corker just freaking rocked him.
Unloaded on him, yeah.
I mean, helmet right to the solar plex of the chest. They even threw a targeting flag, but went back and reviewed it, and they're like, no, you just got the hell knocked out of you.
Yeah, and that was obviously a memory, and that was similar to kind of Will Levis. Played Kentucky in a bowl game, got beat. Mm-hmm. Now he's joining the good guys. But Tavion Robinson, I really he's got a really important role here for Kentucky. I think that receiver room is pretty young. He's going to be an older guy in the room. He's here for the spring. They've already started throwing sessions, it sounds like, in the indoor. Mm-hmm. He's going to be a really, really big part of the offense. They need him to consume a lot of targets. He doesn't have to get 145 targets like Wandell Robinson did last year, but he needs to be a big part of the passing game. And so to hear him talk, a very business-like approach, seems like he's ready to put his nose down and get to work, I think was a good sign. Because that's what you thought you were getting from him, and that's what it sounded like today. And he's going to be one of the most important players on the team, I think, going into next year. And, like, when we get to go to spring practice or go to the spring game, like, he's going to be a guy we're all going to be looking at and watching to see what he can do.
Obviously, Wandell brought a speed, athleticism, and explosiveness and elusiveness that the offense did not have. But if you notice the way that coaches and his teammates talked about him, especially Vince made it a point often, because Wandell could have came in and, you know, my poop don't stink. I'm just going to, like, I can do what I want. I'm going to get the ball, damn it. But Wandell came in. He went to work. He earned their respect. Similar to what Liam said with us last week, where he's like, you know, Will bid his time. He went to work with the threes until they were like, no, like, it earned his trust. And I get a very similar vibes from this Robinson, in that he's not coming in, like, he's coming in to be that guy. I think he fully embraces that leadership role in the locker, in the receivers room, and is, he's doing what you need to kind of fit in initially, and then also earn the respect that your voice will be heard when you ask something of your peers.
I think you could see both him and Tayshaun Manning emerging as kind of leaders on this team, but you do have, there's definitely an earn your stripes portion you have to go through. I think they're both doing that right now, and I think they both understand that. They understand how a team is constructed, how there's leaders and there's backups, there's new guys, there's freshmen, there's transfers, and you just kind of figure out your spot, and then eventually, once you get into practice, you're playing ball. Like in the spring, I think a lot of that's when that transition could potentially be made for these guys. Mm-hmm. And they've been around winning football before. I mean, Virginia Tech won some games, Auburn won some games. They've played in big moments, big rivalry games. They're bringing a lot of some needed experience at a couple of positions that need some experience. Look at offensive line, lost three pros off the starting unit. A year after, you lose Landon Young and Drake Jackson. That's a lot of turnover there in a short period of time, not to mention new position coach coming in, who's now going to start to have his fingerprints more on personnel and players coming into that room. So it's a big transition there. So to add a couple old guys, and then you look at the receiver room, Nick, like we've talked about, there's a lot to get excited about, but there's a lot of young guys, young cats over there.
Yes.
And so you need a leader. You get Cleavon Thomas back for a super senior season after an ACL injury. But after that, there's a lot of question marks. Tavian Robinson comes in. It's him and Cleavon, the only two seniors in there. So from that aspect, and you look at a guy who's probably going to be your starting slot receiver, may be the favorite to lead your team in your receiving, you need that guy to kind of be a leader. So two very important pieces for Kentucky in 2022 will be Tavian Robinson and Tayshaun Manning, and they seem to fit the mold and the culture of the program, which was really kind of a big talking point today. Not necessarily by the media. It was more
like that's players what brought up. Yeah,
right.
Yeah. And some of that is just, the coaches don't treat us like children. They aren't – when you show up on campus, when it's time to go to work, you do your work, but they're not going to hold your hand through it. They're not going to – like – it's not going to be dead silent. You can listen to music.
It was like, very much, it seemed like a comparison between Iowa and Kentucky. Very much was what Deuce Hogan was
doing there. Brian Harsin at Auburn probably thought he was Captain Hardass coming into, I get the sense for a lot of these new guys, because they all played for new coaches. I guess Fuente was in his first year when Robinson got there. So, a lot of those coaches, they have to set their standard. They're going to come in and just, my way or the highway. We're doing, and that's unnecessary.
Mm-hmm. It's on the heels of Liam Cohen saying, we don't, kill these guys in the off season.
Yeah.
They work and they get their stuff done, but, we're not it's not the Junction Boys.
Well, yeah, the words were, everybody looked like they wanted to be there. Because – let's be honest. If it's, 18 degrees like it was today, and they're showing up, they're working out at 7 a.m., you can drag a lot of ass through those things.
Yeah.
And that, does – it adds up. If you're dragging ass through half of those, then you're going to be behind the competition. And so you have to make the most of your opportunities when you're in that building. And I get the sense that – this Kentucky football team, that they spend a lot of time together in that building, and it's not just you show up and then everybody kind of goes their separate ways. That was the kind of vibe that I was picking up from those guys who were coming from different places all over the country.
Yeah, I think a lot of that gets back to the evaluation process. You need to bring in guys that like playing football. If you bring in guys that really love to play, they're going to get along with the other guys who really love to play football. And then that's how you kind of create that atmosphere mm-hmm. where people just like to be around each other. You make the right coaching hires from a staff standpoint that can relate well to players. Obviously, we always hear about Vince Merrow. He's kind of being a lot of players' guy. That's my guy, Vince, big dog. But also, I think we've seen some of that with Cohen being able to relate to players too. I think it's helped a lot. Never really heard anybody say a bad thing about Brad White.
Yeah.
And so I think you've got and a lot of good things about Amar Stewart even today.
Uh-huh.
Darren Henry Young had some positive things about Amar Stewart. So I think you get all those things, and then that's how kind of they all create that culture. And then Stoops, I think, being very player friendly, as we've kind of seen, our sister podcasts. Punt It Deep, kind of in their interview with the head honcho, kind of went on how he develops that kind of those relationships, and I think we've seen all play out. And then all that stuff creates all these good environments, good atmospheres, and then it creates situations where you have guys in the portal, they still play for you. They're in a bowl game, and now you look up 47-29, last 5 years, probably going to be a preseason top 25 team. Your recruiting ceiling keeps getting raised. I think all those things slowly kind of add up, and they have an established winning culture in Lexington, and like we've seen, it's something people want to be a part of.
I was having a conversation. I guess it was over the holiday break. I was up in my wife's hometown, and I was talking to one of the guys, big Ohio State fan, and he was, he was getting all in me. He was telling me all about – he was spreading the gospel of Jim Tressel, and it was kind of funny, but there was one thing. He was like, read his book, and I'm like, oh, God, this is going in one ear out the other. Where's the scores at? I'm looking around at the bar trying to find a game. But the gospel of Tressel included a 90-10 rule, which is if 90% of your guys are all on the same page, then the other 10%, you can give them a little more rope to have a little bit more leeway.
Mm-hmm.
And that means you can go out and for that other 10%, you can just get the best dudes you can find. It's not to say that Lynn Bowden played by a different set of rules, but he played by a different set of rules. And you can afford to do that if the whole team is kind of in it together. Then it's not as bad if there's one or two that, you know, they can slide by and get away with a little bit more.
85 scholarships sprinkled in between 18 to 21-year-olds plus walk-ons. You're going to have a few knuckleheads in the building. Mm-hmm. What you have to do is surround them with a lot of, like you said, that 90. I mean, I think that's a good way to put it. If you got a good majority of the culture pulling the rope, you can deal with
well, and they can self-police
stuff.
It, too. Yeah, you know, true, like, too. And I think that's a significant part of
player-led,
it.
Player-led, that's why it's so important to have a player-led team. I think over the last few years you've seen that. Really, I'd say beginning in 2018 was really when it seriously kicked in there. They're coming off a couple bowl seasons. They take it up a notch, and then you've seen them just roll forward with it in the last few years. And that all, you know, it can be boring to talk about because we're, you know.
Yeah. I mean, this is mid-January football talk.
Right. It's all part of the winning recipe. And you got to have it. And all these little things. They add up. And when it comes to recruiting, like, Kentucky slowly keeps raising that bar. You raise that bar, you're going to get better players. You get better players, you're going to have more draft picks. You have more draft picks, easier the recruiting sell.
A few other things I wanted to add about the four transfers that you may not know. Tayshaun Manning, cancer survivor. We talk about being an old man. He is going to be the old man on the team. He started college a year late because in Thanksgiving of his senior year of high school, he warned that I believe he had leukemia. I think that was the actual one. I'm not certain. Don't know that offhand right now. But he got diagnosed with cancer his senior year of high school. Auburn said, you know, do what you got to do. We'll save a spot for you. Just go kick cancer's ass. He did. I think that fall he enrolled in like community college while he was wrapping up his treatments. Got cleared cancer-free. So he started a year later. And I think we did the math that he'll be, what, like 25?
Yeah, I would say 24, 25.
At some point this year.
Right.
He's an old man on there. Like, he's coming here for business. You know, like, there's no messing around. But it really is a testament to that young man, you know, and I asked, like, is this something you think about all the time? And he's like, really, that day, that Thanksgiving day, it's tough. But, you know, I've overcome that adversity, and now it's only up from here. So, got a very optimistic mindset. And just another dude on that offensive line who's overcome a lot of adversity. Like, I like having those guys fighting for you in the trenches, you know. There's a belief there.
And another – they've had a lot of guys that are very serious dudes over there, and that's another guy. Mm-hmm. And it just solidifies that interior core, I think.
Yeah.
Eli Cox, Kenneth Horsey, him, Quentin Wilson. You're just going to have some dudes, some grown-ass dudes there to play. Now you just got to figure out tackle, which is we'll get into later, but that's probably – one of the biggest spring storylines to see if anybody on the roster can they somebody they can pin on. If not, what can they do in the portal?
I actually heard Brad White make a good point. He was talking with Leach today while I was driving from the office over to the stadium, and he said something about the cornerbacks that I thought was interesting. He's like, you know, if you can get away with not being beat at practice. Like, that's when it's really hard because quarterbacks aren't having to deal with the pressure. So, you know, that's another one that will beat a dead horse over throughout the spring that we don't need to get into today. But the other one, Darian Henry Young, I knew that he was buddies with McClain. Did not realize they played on the same flag football team. Or no, Pee Wee football team. Jatal McClain, 2,000 – or, like, he was about a 3,000-yard high school rusher.
Yeah, it's right up there.
Just obscene prep athlete. Paris Johnson Jr. was top 10 player in the country as an offensive tackle that starts for Ohio State. And then Darian Henry Young, top 150, all on the same Pee Wee team.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine like
– say they got up to number 12 in the country in Pee Wees. Who's ranking Pee Wee teams? Where do I find that?
Oh, somewhere. You know, it's got – Pop Warner's got their power ranking somewhere. There's Joey Ohio Football has his Pee Wee power rankings. But I also like – imagine just showing up to the football field and you're like, we got to play these guys? Who did you ever have anybody you played against that was just like an obscene athlete?
No, I can't say I've ever. Not of note. Trying to think, like, who was probably the best guys we played in high school. And even, like, the good guys were just, like.
They weren't as. Like, my cousin has. He got ran over by Jeremy Johnson, but he technically tackled him.
I mean,
him.
Like, Doug Beaumont was my age. And.
Like, you didn't have to try to tackle his ass, though, did you?
I mean, he was, you know, really good basketball player. Could play every position at football.
Mm-hmm.
He had a cup of coffee in the NFL. But, I mean, that was probably. My age, he was the best, I would say.
Yeah, I did not whiff Antonio Andrews. He ran by me. Technically, it wasn't a whiff. And did he break Barry Sanders' record or just come short? I think he was short.
Yeah, I think he was short.
And McCaffrey since broke that. But I love when every once in a while they'll Spencer Hall, every day should be Saturday fame. He'll like share stories of people going up against freaks.
Yeah.
Those are so funny.
Yeah.
So funny. And I'm sure that was the case for a lot of those guys who had to play prep football.
Online last week was the Derrick Henry, and then one guy, he's like on Wall Street now. It was him trying to tackle Derrick Henry, and he just got
just ran over.
Yeah,
crazy, crazy stuff. But that was how we spent our day on Thursday, our morning. If you want to find more, you can check that out on KentuckySportsRadio.com. There's interviews with all four guys, about 10-15 minutes long a piece. And we'll have stories coming out too before the basketball game this weekend and the football games on Sunday. Look, I want to ask you your thoughts on the Bengals game, but first I got to tell our listeners that this podcast is brought to you by our friends at Prize Picks, where I will love to log on a Sunday morning and say, what do we got here? And last Sunday they offered over 1.5 passing yards for Pat Mahomes. That checks $1. All you got to do is pick one more prop and you win your bet. Me, I get a little bit greedy when I download the Prize Picks app and use the promo code PERSONNEL to double my deposit. I like to try to get 3 and 4 and just hit it big, you know, like $10. Let's try to win 150 or something crazy. You can play that just by picking your favorite players over under on their passing yardage, receiving touchdowns. I was way off because I thought Derrick Henry was going to come out like a man possessed against your Cincinnati Bengals, but he did not.
Not today.
He did not. But what's fun is not only do they have NFL games, they also have college basketball. They have NBA. They have it all. That's how I made out like a bandit the week before. Well, Kellen Grady over on points. He's good for that. Sprinkled in with some of the promos that Prize Picks offer. It's a great app. You can go to prizepicks.com. Or download the app today. Use the promo code PERSONNEL. You'll get 100% back on your deposit of up to $100 when you use that promo code. Check it out today at Prize Picks. Like it? How confident are we feeling entering this game at Arrowhead?
I thought they were going to win last week, the Bengals. It's a tough matchup. Chiefs are pretty damn good.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Patrick Mahomes is awesome.
Yep, he's pretty awesome.
I mean, it is a house money situation, but this whole run has just been – I mean, it's just been so fun to watch it. Really, this whole year, I would say, since they went into Baltimore and beat the Ravens, it's just been – for Bengals supporters, fans, it's just been incredible. Like, Joe Burrow is who – you are who we thought you were. Just cool as you can get, and just an assassin at the same time. And then you get Jamar Chase and what he's done. It's just, I don't think anybody saw that.
No, especially after the preseason.
Yeah, well,
and he took a year off too.
Yeah, I mean he was insane in 2019, but he did get overshadowed a little bit. But still, he won the Biletnikoff, and he was utterly freaky. But it's just been. It's just been so fun as a Bengals fan, just kind of watch it and see them win. And, Nick, like the Titans game was so much like a role reversal. I felt like I was watching Andy Dalton in the playoffs while I was sitting there watching it. And I didn't think they were going to – I thought the Bengals were going to lose the entire time. Once Tannehill threw the pick, the first play of the game, I was like, oh, shit. Oh, we got this. We got the quarterback. And they this is what that feels like to have a guy – who's not just going to, you know, when in these playoff games, your quarterback's just got to go make plays, who's not going to melt.
They got to be, unless you're Jimmy Garoppolo, you got to be more than a game manager. Unless you're,
who tried to. Yeah. I mean, physically tried.
He was floating some balls out there to the flats that you're just like, well, that one of these is going to go to the house.
Right.
These are pick sixes.
I mean, Shanahan had to go fullback trap, had to go Debo on 3rd and 7, hand it off. Just, Jimmy, do not mess this
punt
up.
Punt return,
just get out
touchdown.
Of the way.
Like,
just get out of the
or
way.
Or punt block touchdown, I should
right.
say.
And then, but in every other game, you saw it. Tom Brady and Stafford kind of go back and forth, making big vertical throws late in the fourth quarter.
Josh Allen running the ball like Will Levis out there.
Josh Allen and Mahomes, just get out of the way and let them play one-on-one here in the second half. And then the Bengals game. Burrow was just, all right, take care of the football. Take sacks. We'll be okay. 2nd and 18, I'll hit Higgins across the middle for a 15-yard game. Boom. 3rd and manageable. We're going to be all right. We just hang in here. Just let the other team make mistakes. That was like, well, this is what this feels like. It's on the opposite. Yeah. But it's just been awesome just to see. And it's confirmation for me, like, especially in this sport, the franchise, you know, that stuff matters, obviously. But at the end of the day, you got to have the Jimmys and Joes, the quarterbacks. Like, if you got the quarterback, you can figure everything else out. You can figure out coach. If you got the quarterback, you're going to get players that are not going to come play for you. You get positive momentum. It changes everything. And it makes you – like, the Titans have built up, like, this team, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And they've had, you know, playoff. Made a surprising AFC championship game. Come back. We got this big Hoss Cat, future Hall of Famer at running back. We've got a good offensive line.
Defense has finally
figured
it out.
We've got pieces on defense. We figured out corner a little bit. Our front seven is nasty.
Bud Dupree out there eating.
Jeffrey Simmons is a monster.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you get in the playoff. We get the number one seed. So we're 2 wins away from the – 8 quarters away from the Super Bowl. We're going to get every game at home. And still couldn't.
Quarterback pisses down his leg. It does.
It's tough.
This run does remind me of what the Titans did a few years ago when they were surprising people and Tannehill was playing above his standard. Mm-hmm. Even though his numbers weren't great, he made the throws. Like, I think it was against the Ravens. He dropped a bomb downfield. It was like third and eight. Was just 50-yard touchdown. And, hell, that throw he had to A.J. Brown for a touchdown was awesome. But it is – I mean, it's all about the quarterback play. And that's the difference, I think, between the Bengals. They're probably going to run into a buzzsaw against the Chiefs. I know they won a few weeks back, but, like, replicating that again, you have to get in a shootout and somehow force turnovers.
But they do have – they have the personnel to keep up, I think, in a shootout. It's just going to be – yeah, you're right. Like, in that game, it's – the Chiefs are getting probably to 30.
Yeah.
They're getting a 28, and they're at least getting a 28 if they have a couple turnovers. For the Bengals, can you get to, like, 34? If you can get to 34, you can probably win the game. But it's going to be getting there, protecting Burrow enough to get there to 34.
Nine times. Crazy. You did mention Josh Allen, though, and I kind of alluded to it. At what point this season are we going to start making some – incredulous Will Levis comps?
I'm surprised it hasn't happened yet.
You mentioned it offhand about Kenny Pickett and kind of his growth, his kind of late growth.
Yeah.
But, like, the way Levis runs the ball, I mean, it's easy to pull clips where they're doing the same thing as Josh Allen.
The hurdles.
I mean, you know, he's not fake sliding like Kenny Pickett did. But, like, there's a – when we start making crazy stuff this offseason, like, there's a lot of precedent for having a kind of slow, late-developing guy who finally gets his opportunity and a good coach to help him grow.
Very intrigued by, after the draft, we've got McShay, Kuiper, Dane Brugler,
mm-hmm.
all the big-time guys. They put out that mock next day, like that after the draft, right there. Be intrigued to see if Levis is on there because he's going to be on a lot of guys' radars.
Because he has the tools, you know. He's going to be able to extend plays. He's got the big arm. He's gotten more accurate throughout his career.
And he's in an NFL offense.
Yeah.
Because he's going to get more draft buzz than Hooker, and it's going to piss a lot of Tennessee people off.
Oh, yeah.
But
it's the style
Tennessee is – I mean, he's in a Bryles offense in college. Most of those guys just put up monster numbers. None of them have ever did anything in the NFL.
Very little substance.
Right.
Substance. Gosh.
Substance. Substance. But yeah, I'm very interested to see his stock. Like, it's not crazy Kentucky could have a first round quarterback on the team next year.
Whew. Well, and the thing
I think right now, if you dug into a little bit, he's probably looking second, third round. If he came out this year, he's probably looking fourth, fifth. But if he puts it together, takes a step forward, there's a lot of tools there.
Yeah.
And then looking at that draft class next year off the top of my head, you're going to have Bryce Young, obviously. But who after that? I can't really think. C.J. Stroud.
Uh-huh. Well, it won't be a knock on him, but a lot of it will be, well, look at who he was throwing to. You know, there will be some of that chatter.
Yeah, of course. But I mean, it's still – Bryce Young looks like the guy, and then Stroud right then, but then it's wide open. But, Nick, 5-6 teams need a quarterback in the first round almost every year.
Yep.
It's not crazy to think Levis could be that guy this year.
Yeah, man. Just something to put a pin in, circle back on. We will get spring ball starting up in about a month, give or take. And then, you know, we'll start hearing more updates. Like you said, they have started throwing with one another. Getting an opportunity to get comfortable with some of the new receivers out there, guys like Dane Key. Dane Key is definitely a guy we kind of forgot about after talking about him for so much. You know, his recruitment ended, and then you're like, oh, Barry and Brown, and oh, transfer portal. You know, he's a guy that's going to be in the mix this spring. Dick Hell is going to be back from injury.
That's one I'm very interested to see, because obviously you need that vertical threat. He got some positive reviews over the summer.
Yeah.
But had that knee sprain, so we haven't got to see him much. That's one I'll –
his growth's going to be significant. Right. And I think, as Liam put it on the show last week, it's earning Will's trust, not necessarily Liam's. Will's the guy out there throwing. So.
And we already heard Will talk about Chris Lewis as a guy he likes.
Yeah. Yeah, so there's some guys to keep your eye on. One guy that we talked about on Twitter Spaces last Friday afternoon was Javon Baker, who the Alabama receiver committed. That feels like an eternity ago.
And we didn't talk enough about how we're going to be able to call him the touchdown maker.
Oh, man. Javon Baker, the touchdown maker.
Just an easy.
Oh, gosh. Dorian Baker. Wish we had more of that. You were talking about a guy with good tools, just –
couldn't put it together. Similarities, I think, with Javon Baker and Dorian
Except
Baker.
Except a little bit.
Prospect.
Javon's a better athlete.
Yes.
Much better athlete. A lot faster. Maybe not as
More
big.
Athletic juice.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of juice. Experience at an elite level, to say the least. I mean, dude's getting reps in the national championship game.
Dorian Baker will always have the American Pharaoh nickname during fall practice. You don't remember when Drew Barker called him American Pharaoh?
Yeah. God. Man, there was some stuff back in that early Stoops days. Lamar. I still will always, you know, I know a lot of people probably think of his drops first, but I think of that touchdown he had at Louisville.
That LSU hit, 2014.
Dude, I was on the sideline for it. It was awesome. His freaking mouthpiece landed on my feet, and it happened 17 yards away.
Yeah, that was
Dorian Baker, the touchdown maker.
So Javon Baker, yeah, we're excited about him. Probably not going to see him until the summer. But yeah, Dekel Crowdis is a quiet, kind of sneaky player to watch. I think heading into his redshirt freshman season, their receiver.
Yeah, and. I know you can go back. If you didn't check out our spaces, we talked for about 40 minutes. Max Duffy took all the credit for the recruitment. That's on my Twitter feed, at RouschKSR. Should still be live up there somewhere. You just got to scroll quite a bit. We're not going to archive it for this one because it's a pain in the butt. But, yeah, go back. Check it out. We'll be showing up from time to time. There's something else that happened this week that we normally wouldn't discuss like it, but – that is the biggest news story of the week. Chris Mack. What a loser. 0-1. You posed the question like it.
I did.
So I'll let you ask it.
So pretty much, who is in the college football world, who is Chris Mack?
Oh, I've got it.
Okay. A coach that has a ton of success, at a smaller school, a school he's very familiar with, gets the big job. Everyone claims, oh, that's a slam dunk. That's going to work.
Media loves him.
Media loves it. He goes, has a little success early, but it just doesn't work. The fan base turns on him fast. Right. The fit just a little too much square peg round hole there to work.
So
Place is a legend, obviously. So yep. Let me hear yours. I can write down a couple names.
The first one I thought of, just from a media standpoint, was Will Bear Muschamp, the greatest coach who never coached anything. That was the first one that came to mind. But the difference between Muschamp and Mack is that Muschamp could at least recruit. Mack could not. Mack's best player was a
Radford
transfer. And
Muschamp had power or blue blood pedigree.
Yeah. Instead of coming from like a smaller school level. But the one that I thought of was actually the coach, Tavion Robinson.
Yeah, me too.
He is the perfect comp because, like Mack, he was replacing
Justin Fuente.
A legend. Justin Fuente was replacing Beamer. Mm-hmm. Hell, and Fuente even kept some of those guys around. You know, we had the Bud Foster Bowl because he stuck around for another year. But the recruiting wasn't there at all, especially in-state. I know that was kind of a beef. And it wasn't in the same way. Mack had the Gaudio. I mean, hell, they didn't even completely turn on him with the Gaudio audio stuff either. But when the fan base turned, they turned hard. Same thing in the team, too. You kind of saw that with Fuente in when he was flirting around
with
Baylor.
Just struggle out a little farther, I think, with Fuente than Mack.
Yeah, it lasted another year. But, like, Memphis football – how much different is it than Xavier basketball? You know, not really. Like, you have some success there. You have your one great year. You parlay that into a good job. I mean, and at the time, Fuente and Mack, in each respective field, they were the best names in their coaching search at that time. I'm trying to think of who else was around with Mack. Do you know what other names were around in that?
That time?
Because I don't know.
Musselman was doing good things at Nevada.
Okay.
Right, that was around. Mick Cronin, Cincinnati.
Okay. But for some, it's astonishing how quick it got out of Mack's hands.
Yep. Yeah. Mack was dealt with adversity and just didn't handle it very well. Seemed like he let the temper get the best of him in certain situations. Was not ready to fill a shadow. He's came in at Xavier where it was kind of a cradle of coaches. They were just, you know, plug and play.
Yeah.
Thad Matta, Sean Miller, Chris Mack, and now Travis Steele's having some success there. They're in the top 25. I think they lost last night, but they're in the top 25 right now. So, yeah, that it just didn't work. It just wasn't a fit. You never want to be the guy to replace the guy. Like, when Stoops leaves, like, it's going to be a tough job here. Most wins, all that kind of stuff. I'd say the same thing kind of with the Louisville football gig. Like, Satterfield replacing Petrino, yeah, it was nice because Petrino just quit on the team. But it's also Louisville hired Petrino because they thought they couldn't do any better. Literally.
Yeah.
Tom Jurich thought he couldn't do any better. So they were willing to risk it with that guy. So it's just hard when you have to replace a legend like that. I wrote a couple names down, Nick.
Okay.
Rich Rodriguez is an obvious one. Like, had all that success at West Virginia, goes to Michigan, and it got ugly fast.
Yep, that's a good one.
Charlie Strong at Louisville.
At Texas. Yep.
He's at Louisville. Louisville at the time was kind of plug-and-play head coach. Smaller level, John L. Smith, Bobby, made one bag higher with Crackthorpe, but got Strong back in there. They were kind of a big fish, small pond. They had a lot of resources, financial support, but – a lot more than some of these other schools. They were able to recruit fairly well with Strong. He went and won. He looked like kind of the next thing. He goes to Texas. It's just a horrible – Price's national championship head coach, just a horrible fit. He had moments there. Like, Mack got number one ranking. Texas beat Notre Dame to start that one season. It's Texas is back. And then they go and have a losing season.
Yeah.
And then he had a loss to Bielema in the bowl game where we got the borderline erotic from Brett Bielema. Chris Mack makes a tournament, loses to Richard Pitino. And then the one current one I had, I think Fuente was probably the number one I had, but like Brian Harsin at Auburn right now.
Oh, especially the moves to the coaching staff this offseason. Yeah. That was the desperation that Mack did last year.
Yeah, like Brian Harsin.
I've got to save face. I've got to do something. And what's funny with Mack, though, is it felt like Mack got desperate and took out the guys that people liked, you know?
Yeah. Like with Harsin, he, you know, he was an assistant at Texas there for a little bit, goes to Boise, his alma mater, Chris Mack, Xavier, his alma mater.
Sure.
Wins a couple of Mountain West titles, is pretty good there, but he's not like super.
Which is kind of similar.
It takes him a while to get a big chance at another school. Mack was at Xavier for like 11 years. Harsin was out at Boise for 6-7. He goes to Auburn. He makes some weird staffing hires. There was very much seemed like Auburn's like, you need to hire this, some people with SEC experience. So he goes out and hires Mike Bobo, Derek Mason. Yeah. Doesn't work. Now he's doubling down on his Boise stuff. And we all know how that marriage is going to end. It was very – I think that – those are the similarities. So those were the four that I thought of. It's just – and it just goes to show you this hiring stuff can be hard sometimes. Like,
oh, it doesn't – sometimes it doesn't, and it goes back to how we started, the culture fit. Like, sometimes on paper things make sense, but they just – it doesn't play out that way you expect.
This time a year ago, Nick, Elijah Drinkwitz, everybody loves him.
Yeah.
Missouri fans love him. You know, they're starting to have some really good recruiting success. He goes 6-7 this year. He brought in a new defensive coordinator. Really let their other one walk. The other one had a pretty good season at Illinois. This one was a wreck.
Yep.
This 113th yards per play allowed. They've got some good players leaving the transfer portal. All of a sudden, your quarterback of the future is going to be at Indiana next year. You've got this good recruiting class, but now you've got kind of a gap here where – you know, you're going to have to figure it out, and you don't trust the defense, and he's made some staff changes, so you don't, you know, he's 12 games away from being on the hot seat. It's just, you don't know. It's very hard, and that's why it's year-over-year stability is the most important thing you can have. If you have that, then you're going to have the chance to break through, but you got to stay patient sometimes.
Yeah, and, you know, I do at least – yeah, in Mack's case, you've got to acknowledge, too, that luck was never on his side, you know, with the coach.
Yeah, he like didn't get it. He just did. Sometimes you got to catch the breaks, too. Yeah. That's anything in life, and he didn't catch the breaks.
Because, like, his best team, COVID cancels the tournament, last year. The following year, he's going to make the tournament again, but they just didn't play enough games. They were sidelined by COVID so much. And you know, I still remember asking Stoops. So it was something that got brought up on my radio show quite a bit. The COVID year, when they were firing Grant afterwards. And it's like, well, do you factor that in? Should people get a pass? And he's like, you and I both know we don't live in a world. Like, that's just not how we function.
Yep, you can't.
You can't.
They crowned a national – my thing is, with all that, they crowned a national champion.
Yeah.
Like, someone has a trophy.
Those games were played.
conferences had champions.
Yeah.
Like, that trophy's in those cases. The years count. We can say, you know, this or that, but it's just everybody was playing by the same set of rules. Well, it wasn't like just Louisville was dealing with COVID. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just Kentucky was dealing with COVID. Everybody was playing by the same set of rules. Now, you can look at that with context, but you still have to look at it as it's part of your resume.
And here's the thing, too. Like, people are willing to give you a little more leeway, a little more rope, if you're not a jerk. And Mack was just a jerk.
That gets back to fit, too. Just
he was combative.
Fit.
And, like, you can be that at times, but not in the way he was. He was in the – so, like, Patino was an arrogant jerk in the way that you're kind of St. X Tiger arrogant. Like, some of those arrogant guys you probably went to school with that are just like, huh. Whereas Mack was, like, a South End guy on Dixie Highway who was just going to fight you. To be mean. Like, he just, like, started puffing his chest out like he was going to fight you. Like, you can get away with being that snarky, kind of arrogant, even when you stink. You can be a jerk that way and be condescending. But you can't just have this, like, I mean, it was like he was about ready to go to war with freaking Tim Sullivan. Like, come on. Like, Chris Mack, it was
unnecessarily combative.
Yeah,
it just wasn't a fit. I think a lot of it he just didn't handle being in the shadow. And that was going to be impossible to get out of. Now this next coach is going to come in. If they go to a couple tournaments, they're probably going to be pretty happy for a while, at least to start off. And Mac never had that that little grace period, even though he took over in tough circumstances. Just a hard place to come in, and then the turnover they've had in administration. It'll be quite a mess, and it's going to be an interesting coaching search to follow.
Oh, man. It's fun to follow from afar. Lucky. Mm-hmm. Glad that we aren't like on, hitting the ground running, trying to get scoop and sources and all this junk. Because who do you even get to go to your sources? You don't got an AD or president?
I know.
You know?
At least we have some stability on this side. Quick shift over to recruiting, Nick.
Yeah.
QB recruiting. Like, you're going to start seeing commitments now.
Mm-hmm.
These guys are going to go off the board. I know everybody in the country is paying attention to Arch Manning. But Kentucky's in other areas. This week, Grayson Loftus was a kid they had camp over the summer, South Carolina quarterback. He committed to Duke. A few weeks ago, Raheem Jeter, another South Carolina quarterback, committed to West Virginia, both three-star prospects. And then Christopher Fazina has blown up. He's top, like, 125, top 125 prospect.
Going to be an All-American next year.
Sam Spiegelman of Rivals, I believe, just put in a prediction for Clemson.
Mm.
It's sounding like that the Arch race is probably – Georgia, Texas, maybe Alabama. I think Clemson might be backing out of it a little bit. Vecina's been Kentucky's top quarterback for a long time. Birmingham, Alabama, prospect. They're probably not going to get him. Okay, so you're taking a lot of guys off the board. I think Chris Parson, who's committed to Florida State, is a guy to keep an eye on. He's down in Nashville. They had him at a camp. He looked really good.
Keep chipping away.
William Cohen really liked him.
Norvell could get canned, you know.
Right. So that's one to watch. And then Bo Edmondson's a quarterback in Austin, Texas, I think they like. But long story short, this high school recruiting quarterback position now, you really just need to swing for the fences. See if you can land a guy. There's no real need to land developmental three stars anymore if you're Kentucky. Just go to the portal.
Yep.
This will probably be Will Levis's last year, and the starter next season, 2023, it's probably going to be a guy not on the roster right now. He's probably playing for someone else of right now. So that's really kind of the recruiting strategy you're going to get. Now you would ask, hey, Adam, well, what about the backup? Everybody in college football has got a weird backup quarterback situation. You're not going to be able to have two good quarterbacks on your roster. You're no longer can you hoard quarterbacks unless you're cream of the crop, Ohio State, Alabama, Georgia. Teams like that. If anybody's quarterback gets hurt, it's just you're going to be in a tough situation. That's just kind of how the sport is due to the so much action transferring. I think it's just very important to keep attacking that portal. And that's why a guy like Deuce Hogan could be a sneaky pickup, Nick. Former four-star prospect. You get him in here as a walk-on. Maybe it just didn't fit at Iowa. Maybe Cohen can do some work with him, and then maybe he can be potential quality backup for you. You just never know.
Yeah.
But like I said, the high school recruit, it's just kind of weird how you kind of evaluate and develop that or manage, I should say, that recruiting. That it's going to be interesting to follow. But what I think we're seeing for Kentucky is they're swinging, they're taking big swings.
And they're at least getting on early enough to where it's not like they're offering after the Clemsons
right.
of the world
right.
or in there. So they're a value. They've got a good eye for the talent.
Right, you know? And that's why I'd say Deuce Hogan could have been sneaky because maybe they decide just not to get a quarterback in 2023. That could just be your addition, and then you get the big transfer next year.
We'll see.
And then Bo Allen, obviously, you see how he can develop.
National Signing Day is next Wednesday. So weird that it's.
Yeah, I didn't even realize that.
Yeah, because Kentucky, they could have two guys. Brad White was visiting R. Mason Thomas, the edge from Fort Lauderdale, this week, but seems like that's Oklahoma or Miami, or maybe even. Stays committed to Iowa State. I don't know. But that's going to be a tough one, but still an option. And then Jalen Farmer, the Florida commit, they had him on campus right before early signing period. Might be a tough get.
For his official, right.
So, those are possibilities, but who knows? It's weird. Curtin's weird, man.
Yeah. It's so weird that this February day is just kind of
– nothing.
Nothing. Especially with – the portal on top of the early signing period.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like no one even cares?
I do get the sense that this calendar is going to be switched around. You're seeing a lot of push in that.
Yeah, I think that's a safe bet.
Yeah. Well, folks, this has been fun. We've enjoyed talking to y'all. Even though it was a little bit slower than normal, we still got a little culture talk in. Good to hear from the mid-year guys. Hopefully we'll hear from some of those freshmen next week and get to share some anecdotes from that. But until then, best of luck to your Bengals. I'm betting the Chiefs to win the Super Bowl this week. And, yeah, that's another reminder. Bet your Super Bowl winner today. Just you get money on odds that you're not going to get next
Joe
week.
Burrow, Super Bowl MVP.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, I bet you get it at, like
– take it right now.
Plus 6,000. You know, 6-1 odds.
Yeah, you get something good.
Yeah. So make your Super Bowl bets today. Make your Prize Picks bets on Sunday. Use promo code PERSONNEL. And then next week, download this podcast because you might have Adam Luckett, who is just on cloud nine, ready for a Bengals Super Bowl berth.
That would be a total I don't know what to do with my hands moment.
Already in. We're just happy to be here. I don't even know what you would do in the Super Bowl.
I am. I just wanted to win a playoff game and then – go beat the Titans, and it's just been, I don't know. I don't even know how to explain it. It's just been awesome. Like, I do say this, like, as fun as this, like, now there's going to be pressure after this year.
Yeah.
Now it's like, you got everything. Now we need to go win a Super Bowl.
This is going
to
be your least stressful Sunday for a long time.
Right.
So you enjoy that game against the Chiefs. Chiefs Rams Super Bowl. Let's make it happen.
I can see that. I kind of like the Rams too.
It'd be a fun match.
It's hard to beat a team like that three times.
Yeah. Well, we appreciate y'all listening. We'll be back next week. Go Cats and go Kroger.